Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Read You Later, a fun, captivating show that discusses the best in publishing, politics, community, and entertainment. And before we begin tonight's show, we want to talk about some relevant things that will be coming up on Read You Later. I am so excited to be interviewing William M. Young, the author of The Shack, which I feel is probably one of the best books of the last 10 years. As you may know, The Shack has been turned into a major film and will be debuting March the 3rd in any theaters near you. And we will discuss with him the book and the process of making the movie. In addition to that, I know if you follow me on social media, you know that I have another one of my wonderful events. This year we have Lights, Camera, Action. Our main author is no other than the legendary Brenda Jackson. Saturday we will have a free literary event featuring Brenda Jackson, Deborah Mello, Iris Boland, Sabrina Jeffries, and much more. In addition to that, literary agents LaToya Smith and Stephanie Phillips, they will be taking your pitches for free. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, for free. First come, first serve basis. I already have some people that have inboxed me inquiring about the pitch session. Just due to being fair to everyone, it's first come, first serve. So if you want to make your literary dreams come through, come on, give me a holler. Friday evening, we will have our, I think everyone comes to look forward to this, our ladies' night out. We will be featuring spoken word live music, and we will have a short film presentation by the one and only Nakia Cherie. The price for that is $45. You can find information all on social media. I will have some more information out, and I do have some gifts for people who have registered already. Early bird gets the worm, but no harm, because you know if you've been to any of my girls' night out events prior to our literary event, we always get gifts and presents. There will be some giveaways, there will be some tech takeaways, and we will have an awesome, awesome time. August the 25th through the 26th, hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for more information. Now, we are going to continue our part two of what? It's a love thing, because February is all about love, and Lord knows when we look at the news and social media and any type of print media, we are in need of love. So this month we want to showcase, display, and show love. And I love romance and I love good literature, and tonight we have all three. So first I have my guest, J.J. Mary. JJ, welcome to Read You Later.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Thank you for asking.
Now, JJ, yeah, well, JJ, I remember reading your books back in the day, and I'm glad to see you're back in the mix and back on social media. Didn't know that you were actually pretty much a neighbor of mine, so we really don't live that far from each other. And JJ will be helping my book club celebrating our 7th anniversary. He is our guest. I'm thinking another book club anniversary. But you know what, JJ, you're also our first male that we have invited to our book club. And let me tell you, we're going to try to be on good behavior. We do cut up, so I'm just going to give my disclaimer right now. We're going to attempt, but it is our anniversary, and we may want to get turned up a little bit, but we won't scare you because we may want you to come back. So I look forward to discussing your book.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I didn't know I was the first, and now that I know,
I'm looking forward to it. And also another book club, a sister book club from mine, Victoria's Lady Reading out of Raleigh and Durham, they all will be attending as well, and maybe another book club or two will pop up. So you're going to be in the midst of about 21 women. So, you know, yeah, I know, JJ. But anyway, welcome to It's a Love Thing Part 2. Now, JJ, as I said earlier, I was a big fan of your books, and for a while we didn't see you out here and see you on social media. I know that publishing has drastically changed from the time when you were initially published and even when you branched off and did your own thing. Had the pendulum switching back and forth, has that called authors, and I'm going to call you, you know, you're one of the alumni authors, has it caused you to second guess the industry or second guess your place in the space, so to speak?
When I first started out, it was Sandra Kitt and me, pretty much. And it was a small group. And you look today, and the genre has exploded in all directions.
Yeah.
I'm glad I was part of the beginning of it.
I don't really remember anyone prior to you. If there was someone prior to you, I'm an avid reader. You know, now I'm thinking you're right, you and Sandra Kitt. And I remember being exposed to it, and I was like, wow, you know, very, very pleased. And now, as you say, that the genre has really exploded in IR. And I think that it's a good thing. I think that perhaps you have not gotten your just due. Because in a way, you helped craft this genre. I really do. You're the first one I remember. And I remember when I saw the cover, I thought that perhaps the cover was incorrect, or because, you know, you're not accustomed to seeing that. And then when I found out that you were a white male, it really blew my mind, because how you were able to relate to the characters and the culture, because people are people, relationships are relationships if we get down to it, but how you were able to bridge that gap and to be to use what you know and to craft such colorful characters, you know, pun not intended, and to have such a wonderful plot line, it was amazing to me and readers alike. Were you well received initially from readers, or did people question your motives or even question the validity of your writing due to the fact that you're a Caucasian male?
The quick story, I was supposed to be Desiree Holland. My publisher was worried that I would not be received, as you say, and I came up with a pen name. And for a while, it seemed to work until bookstores started asking for Desiree to come and do readings and signings. So they gave me my initials. They gave me JJ and thought that would be a way not to trick people, but just to, you know, give me a neutral name that folks can wonder. And then someone in the marketing department thought, well, let's put him and his wife on the book flap. And that was the first in American publishing to have an interracial couple on a hardback book flap. I took some hits. I got some incredible mail, which I've saved, which I cannot repeat on the radio, some of it. And then again, I have a very solid, strong, fierce group of readers that have stuck with me since 2001.
I've been one of them.
Yes,
I've been one of them. And like I said earlier, I really applaud you for stepping out, because I can only imagine that even today, I can only imagine perhaps some of the backlash you receive. But also, I think that your work also helped to ease some of the apprehension, helped to ease some of the fear that perhaps some interracial couples experience, or people who were in relationships or thinking about relationships. I would like to think that it also helped ease some of that fear, some of the misconceptions, and perhaps bridge some of the gaps between family members who were in dissent. So I applaud you for all that you have done and you continue to do, not only in the literary world to bridge gaps, but also what you have done in communities. And saying all that, let's get to your new book. Because, JJ, it's been a minute. It's been a minute, and we have been wondering where you were, but now you're back. You're back on social media. You're back, and we are glad to have you. So tell me what it is like versus in 2017 versus 2001. What has this publishing, how has the publishing business changed, and how were you able to embrace the changes?
When I first started, you travel, you do book events, you do signings, your publisher takes care of you. There came a point where the publisher kind of gave me the brush off in the right around 2002, 2003. So I self-published my own book. And this was before the Kindle, before the Nook, before all the electronic versions of books out there. I had to find an actual printer, publisher in Tennessee. I had a room full of books and no way I had to figure out how to go about distributing the books through Amazon, through local bookstores. And it was a lot of work, an absolute lot of work. And it took a while before I realized that I don't know if I want to do this. I was younger then. The folks at the post office got to know me by name. It was like, cheers. Hey, Norm, here the guy comes in with all his packs of books going out all over the country. there's got to be an easier way to do it. Then Kensington picked me back up and kept me for, I guess, the next 13 years. It was only recently that they decided that my numbers weren't good enough and that they let me go in December. And that gave me 6 to 8 short weeks to put out a book. And I had lots of help. Now, you keep saying back to social media. I don't think I was ever on it. I sort of was, you know, happy birthday here and there. I sort of fairly paid attention to it and didn't realize the power of it. I didn't realize how effective it can be to get a lot of people involved. And I'm just so happy that I had so many people like come up to me on the side and say, look, your covers are terrible. the self-published ones that I was doing. Your website is a mess. And they were very honest and open with me and say, you know, in the modern age, JJ, you have to change. And
it's visual age,
whatever.
For sure.
Oh, my goodness. So from the beginning of November until, you know, the book that just dropped on Valentine's Day, it was constant movement, constant improvement, constant everything. And I'm so happy to be where I am today. The paperback version came out, and you know, back in the day, it would have taken a year for all that to happen. And in 10 short weeks, I was able to go from formerly published by Kensington Publishing Company to, hey, I'm a published author with Kinfolk Books. So
you mentioned something earlier about numbers, and I would like to say, just on the record, I think that numbers are, even though we know numbers are finite and they are concrete, but when we're talking about people and companies, numbers can be subjective. And also genres, so to speak, because, you know, a couple of years ago, everything in BSDM, you know, with the 50 Shades, and then maybe in the Twilight Saga, so everything was paranormal or sci-fi, things of that nature. So
sure.
I always say that if you stick with your writing and you are consistent to who you are as an author, your fan base and your readers, they will follow you, or they will contact you, and they will tell other people about you, just like I did with the other book clubs that will be coming or have already purchased your books. So you just be true to who you are, and I will keep supporting. But that being said, let's get to the date. William Wise, a 50-year-old male, and, you know, as of late, because I've interviewed, I've been trying to cut back on some of my interviews, even though I got a lot of people in my inboxes. But that's another story. But as of late, the last 3 or 4 months of interviews, I have interviewed, when I'm interviewing authors, the characters are much mature and they're getting older. And I must say I appreciate that because, you know, I'm getting older. I'm no longer that 20 and 30-some old reader. And it is refreshing that when you come in contact with a mature hero or heroine or protagonist or antagonist in a book, because it shows that the author is also listening. Because, you know, I read a lot. I read a lot of different genres. But, you know, be frankly, I'm kind of tired of 19 and 21-year-old ditzy heroine and, you know, this bubble-headed 25-year-old alpha male. You know, you want that meat and potatoes. And so you are actually giving readers that meat and potatoes. Because, you know, 50, Wim has, honey, he has lived a life and he is, you know, I don't want to give away too much, but in case people haven't read or haven't downloaded, but he is really wearing his heart on his sleeve. And you gave him life. You gave him realistic characteristics. Why was it important for you to have him be 50?
I am now at that age. I can no longer write as a 20-year-old because that generation gap is so vast. And that's what I was trying to show in the book, that, you know, he does fall for a younger woman who is from a different electronic look-at-your-phone world. And he's from a world where, you know, conversation, talking, getting to know someone, doing things together. The date itself is active. It's out there. And I've always wanted to do a May-December romance. I've never done it. This is the first. I've always wanted to do someone about my age for a change because it's been a while. And I think I was able to bring him to life because in many ways he's like me. I am indeed growing a beard. He has a beard. And the whole idea of writing about an author who's kind of off, you know, I was writing it kind of when I did not have a publisher, or I was worried I was going to have a publisher, or I was worried that I would have an audience. So I was kind of off to the side, I guess. And suddenly, here comes this new life into my life. And what happens with William could happen. And I try to make that clear, and I hope I do, but, you know, he's quirky. Sure he is. He's got some quirks. So do I. So do most people. But I've never written an alpha male. I don't know how to write an alpha male. I hope I created Brittany in a way that she's recognizable to people, and I think I have because online some of the reviews are coming in. Some people don't like her very much, and I didn't want them to. At times, I do want them ultimately to fall in love with her, but for a while there, you know, like people talking back.
Yeah,
to the book,
for a while there, she was a little touch and go for me as well.
Right, but you knew from my style that hey, he's not going to leave me hanging like that. He's going to bring everyone back into the fold. That HEA, that happily ever after, is going to happen. It's just going to take a minute. It's going to be as realistic as I could make it. Trying to imagine an older person from a different generation and a younger person. How would that work? And would there be sparks? And of course there were. And that was the fun of writing that book.
Now, what can we expect from you? What do you have on the horizon?
I have a book working on called Drift, and don't want to give too much away, but it will be an odyssey. It will be a cross-the-country odyssey.
Oh, wow.
I've kind of been kind of Virginia-based, and I did a series of Brooklyn novels. The date takes place in Manhattan. Now I'd like to get out to the rest of the world and take it out west. And it'll start in the east and work its way west. But Lost Love, Finding Lost Love, I think it's a good archetype, and that the mistakes you make when you're young, that you can sometimes correct them when you're older. That's in
all
general.
Right.
I don't want to go too much into that.
Yeah, that's a hope.
definitely will be a lot different than what I've written. And I suppose I'm setting people up. But the nice thing about being on my own now, I can put that book out in June. whereas if I were with the publisher, it would be another full year or maybe more before that book came out. So I will be writing more, putting out more books. Hope to get 3 books, total books, out this year.
All right. And that's wonderful, having the autonomy to be an independent author or independent artist, per se, because you got the autonomy of choosing your book covers, choosing editors, choosing launch, choosing if you need to revisit certain things, uploading, downloading, the whole shebang. And how can my listeners get in contact with you via social media?
Let's see, author J.J. Murray. That's a separate page. A lot of the things I go back and forth, just J.J. Murray on regular Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Pinterest. I'm all over the place now. But I wasn't before, and I'm enjoying it. Twitter, I'm out there, and I hope I'm not annoying too many people. But
and
I'm
I
enjoying
think that you
it.
Will be you'll be attending BRAB this year in Northern Virginia, the DMV area, and for people to look out for that. And I'm sure Denise and Sharon and Miss Frissy and Lily and Deb, I'm sure they will be sharing that information. Actually, I'll probably have them on the show some point to discuss some of the authors and have some of the authors on the show as well. And JJ, thank you for coming on Read You Later, and we look forward to chatting with you in person in March.
All right. Thank you for having me.
All right. Have a wonderful evening.
You too.
Next, ladies and gentlemen, we have a dynamic duo. This young lady, she's no stranger to Read You Later, but I think she hasn't been on maybe like in 2 years. And not only is she coming back, but she brought a friend. So let's welcome back to Read You Later and introduce to Read You Later, Jay Henderson and Mario D. King. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How are we doing?
Good evening. All is well. I'm blessed. I can't complain at all.
I know that is right. And thank you for coming on Read You Later.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the invite.
And Jay, are you on? Hello?
Yeah, I'm not sure if she's on quite yet. I think she had a meeting she had to get to.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Well, Mario, honey, you're going to be carrying this book because, look, this book can carry itself. Now, I don't know if my listeners were aware of the first book, but can you fill them in just in case there's a book gap? Can you tell them the wonderful release that that hit the various platforms and tell us how we can one-click our way to reading the light? Hello, Mario?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Okay. Didn't hear you initially.
Yes.
Now I can hear you.
Okay. So the name of the series is Where Do We Go From Here? And it's something me and Jay created back in the fourth quarter of 2015. And pretty much the synopsis is we wanted to kind of go over some of the dysfunctional relationships that we go through on a day-to-day basis and kind of wanted to cover the potential pitfalls when you kind of go after the lust instead of the love in front of the relationship.
I know that's right. And this book is so real. It reminds me of, you know, the old saying Grandma said all the time, all the glitters is not gold, because all the glitters is not necessarily gold. And as I was telling J.J. Murray, you know, you get older, you know, when you get older, you're supposed to do better. But I remember being young and being attracted to chocolate candy that really wasn't necessarily good for me, but it looked good. And,
that's it.
And this book has a lot of those attributes, and it was amazing, and it made me reflect on some reminisce, so to speak. I thought Mary J. Blige, you know, this book had me in the 90s. I had a whole soundtrack, reminisce and everything, Real Love, 411. Honey, I had it going on in my head, but this book really does the job of connecting those dots about what's real, what's not, what's love, and what's lust. And from a male's point of view, how did these characters perhaps mimic some of the, I don't know if you could talk about this, some of the barbershop talk that we as women aren't not supposed to hear?
Yes, definitely. And I think the authenticity comes from both me and Jay doing it from the female-male perspective. She kind of opened me up a little bit more as I read her chapters. So some of that barbershop talk that you're talking about was kind of included in the book. I didn't want to give up too much. I know
that that's the bro code. I know that's the bro code, and I think Jay has joined in. Jay, are you online?
I was about to say, did somebody say my name?
Yes.
Hello.
We'll welcome back Jay Henderson. I tell you, Mario, we're having that talk that we're not supposed to talk. Yeah, I remember that Mario, because I have a son. He's now, he's approaching 20, and I remember when I used to take him in on early on Saturday mornings while I dropped my husband off from work, you can tell the conversation stopped. And even though I knew the barber, grew up with the barber, and grew up with most of them, I was like, dang, gone. So, you know, I felt kind of awkward. So often I would just like kind of stand outside or go to the store so they could continue guy code barbershop talk.
That's right.
Now with so many women getting a fade because I rocked one, they had no choice now but to continue that conversation with us in there. But they just don't have it at all. And I can tell you firsthand that they just go ahead and have it. And I would just be sitting there dying and laughing. And my barber would say, they're not making you uncomfortable, are they? I'm like, no, I'm learning.
Okay, you learn it. I mean, and this book does a great job about captivating those moments. Be it barbershop talk or even the beauty shop talk, because you know we can get scandals in the beauty shop. If we're gonna keep it real, Mario. We as women, we can get scandalous and we can lay it all on the floor. It's not just weave on the floor; it's talk on the floor as well. And these relationships, honey, they are hopping and they are a hot mess. I ain't gonna say all of them hot mess, but you know. As anything, there's the good and the bad and the ugly and the real. Now, writing together, was this therapeutic for both of you all, or did you all, we were talking about guy code and girl code, did you divulge some of the girl secrets, Jay? And Mario, did you have to divulge some of that barber talk secrets that perhaps Jay didn't hear?
I think I divulge too many secrets because you have to think about it. Mario has a wife and two daughters. So I'm sure he hears some things all the time. But, I mean, I honestly just try to be open with women's emotions. And even when it comes to us putting them where they shouldn't be, like in the case of Marcus and Natalie. Marcus told Natalie he didn't want a relationship, and she decided to allow herself to get attached anyway. So when it came to those emotions and the way women feel things, and I'm sure Mario, when he was talking about the way men feel things, I just wanted to be as open and honest and real as I possibly could in how we make ourselves feel and how they make us feel.
Yeah, and then you know, Mario, as a male, do you feel that Marcus in book one and in this book, we don't want to divulge too much stuff, but do you feel that he has received some unwanted heat because he's trying to be honest? At least in this book, he's trying to be honest a little bit. But we got to give him some credit. Do you feel that he feels that he's getting that unnecessary heat or unnecessary criticism when he is who he is?
From a man's perspective, a lot of times I think the way we express ourselves emotionally can go askew when it comes to a female perspective. That's why I kind of wanted to create him flawed, but feel be honest and be real. And like Jay said, the way she was able to express on the female side from an emotional standpoint, that's where the connection was missed. So like you said, Marcus was just being Marcus. You know, he felt like if I could be upfront and be honest about the situation, then she should be able to respect it and accept it. However, that's not how a woman thinks all the time. So that's
I know because they should, yeah, because I've had friends in these situations, and they always feel that they can change that
right.
male person's point of view. Like they're gonna be the one. I'm like, well, I think you're number five on the line. So if one through four didn't do it, honey, you know, good luck with all that. And we're gonna take some callers. Let's see, caller from 904-743. You're on the air. Do you have a question or a comment for Jay or Mario?
Yes, I was enjoying myself. This is J.B. Williams. I'm in Jacksonville, Florida.
The J.B., how are you doing, the J.B.?
I am very well. How are you?
I'm doing well. And J.B., can you shout out your book club?
My book club is PWOC, and we are 14 members strong. We have members from Jacksonville and South Georgia, St. Mary's and Kingland, Georgia.
Woo, woo, woo. And you tell Mama Tony I said hello. She's not listening.
Sure
I don't think I see her phone number on here. But you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I wanted to make a comment just to say that I was enjoying the conversation. I'm not familiar with the books, but I was enjoying and trying to get familiar with new authors and see who I can check out this year.
All right, JB, I'm in the same boat. And if you find somebody new, you holler.
Okay, I will.
All right, bye, JB. Love you.
All right, love you too. Bye-bye.
Bye. I love book club love, and nothing like book club. We all sisters. Let's see. Caller from 678. Caller from 678-360. Do you have
hey,
a question
Sharon.
Or comment? Welcome to. Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. This is Denise. Hey, Jay. Hey, Mario. And we got Sharon too.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi, Denise. Well, Denise, you know what? You must have heard me talking about that Brab event because you just chimed
no.
on in. All right.
No, I forgot.
All right. Do you have a question or a comment for Mario or Jay?
Sharon?
Oh, hi, Jay. Hi, Mario. This is Sharon.
Hey, Sharon.
How you guys doing? I just want to say I'm familiar with Jay Henderson books, which I love your books because they're hilarious. And I'm new and I'm new to the series you have. I have both of them. They're read. I love the synopsis of it. And I was listening to you guys' conversation. You guys are on point big time about I can change this person to be what I want them to be. And I cannot now wait to start reading the book. And right now I'm reading Miss Bev. So after I'm done, I'm coming to read y'all book.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Well you know, Miss Bev is the queen. So it's all
yeah.
right. I'm about out
and
to
it's
the
a good
queen
book
anyway.
Too.
So after you finish Miss
yeah,
Bev.
Yeah, and that is a good book. Yeah, Sharon, I stayed up all night. I stayed up all night reading, and I still made it work behind. I had one eye open, one eye closed. Sharon and Denise, did you all want to shout out the date for your Brab event?
All right, go ahead, Denise. I always talk, so I'm letting Denise do it.
It's in D.C. Reading Warriors Retreat is in D.C. this year, October 5th and 6th. And it's going to be a blast. It's going to be a blast. We got 15 crazy, great authors, and we're going to have campaign meetings, character-based campaign meetings, character-based debates, looking for that book husband president and vice president. So, and we got the lip sync back. So, Jay, you know what we did in Memphis. So, we're going to do it again.
And this year, we'll have the award ceremony there.
Yeah. And the Reading Warriors Award ceremony will be live at the event, not online this year.
Awesome.
So you definitely want
to
be there this year.
All right.
And thank you, too, for supporting. And I will talk to you later.
Yes, thank you.
Have a great evening.
Thank you. All right, you too.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to get back to the book. Now, what can, Mario, what can female readers expect from your male perspective?
A lot of honesty. Again, I think the Marcus character, a lot of people will be able to relate to him because you will see his vulnerabilities as him as a man, and also you can see the good qualities that he has. A lot of times we don't come prepackaged as perfection. We all have to grow at some point. So I hope that they see the growth in Marcus from book one until we decide to wrap the series up.
All right. And, Jay, I don't even know how we – I don't know which way you're going to go with this. Natalie, do you see her – Well, I take it this way. Do you see other women in her, or do you see other women emulating her, or do you see her trying to hold her own in this book?
In this book, Natalie is trying to do better. I will give her that much. She realizes where she made some mistakes, but she's pregnant. And so she and Mario are about to be bonded together. But they've got to decide how to proceed. And she just wants to make sure that she doesn't keep getting hurt, that she's not playing anybody's fool, trying to be smarter, trying to be more intentional, trying to make Mario make some adult decisions. So Natalie does better in this book. She does.
In some ways, we're going to give her a little credit.
She has her own flaws. She has to work through, but she's definitely trying to hold her own better.
Okay. Now, Mario, how can people connect with you on social media?
Social media through Facebook, you can look me up at Author Mario D. King. Twitter and IG is just Mario D. King.
Okay, and Jay, how can people connect with you on social media?
There's always my website, Jay Henderson Author. You can always do Facebook, and that's Jay Henderson Author 2, and Jay is spelled J-A-E. Twitter is just Jay Henderson, and if you do Instagram, it's Jay Henderson Author again. So if you can either just Google me or find Jay Henderson Author, and there I am.
All right. I'd like to thank all my guests for joining us this evening. I'd like to thank all the participants and like the people who inbox questions and wanted to know about J.J. Mary and also Jay Henderson and Mario D. King. Once again, I appreciate your listening. I appreciate your loyalty, and I appreciate you buying books and being active in your community. Just a few little housekeeping tidbits. My next show, because I'm trying to scale back on some of my shows, my next show is March the 13th, and we will have William E.P. Young, who's the author of The Shack, one of the best 10 books I have read, and one of the best books, one of my favorite 10 books, period, to be honest with you. The movie debuts on March the 3rd. We will talk about the book, and we will talk about the man and his journey. I'm going to tell you the story because he and I have had a couple conversations. His journey, honey, you will get goosebumps. Also, don't forget my event, Light Camera Action, featuring the incomparable Brenda Jackson, Sabrina Jeffries, Deborah Mello, Iris Bowen, Misha Elliott. Oh, Lord have mercy. I think it's 15 people. The Saturday event is free. Friday, ladies' night out, $45 donation. We will have live music, spoken word, and a short film feature from Nakia Cherie. And also, we will be hosting, because, look, I know I'm going to tell Denise anyway, Denise Sharon, we'll be hosting Brab
at their event, and Sharon Lucas will also will be talking about her event, because I believe, you know, there is no competition among sisters. We're all here, and there are enough readers that everybody can go and have fun and still enjoy each other. That's what sisterhood is all about. So we're going to support one another. And from my heart to yours, I hope you have a wonderful week. And don't forget not to just loan a book, but download and purchase a book. And don't forget to smile, because a bright smile will brighten your day and somebody else's. Read you later. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Same to you.